You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Folks, I'll be in the San Francisco Bay Area. That's the San Francisco Bay Area, October 29th through the 31st. That's October 29th through the 31st. I'll be at the Dunphy Hotel. That's spelled D-U-N-F-E-Y. The Dunphy Hotel in San Mateo, California. I will be lecturing Sunday, October the 31st at 12:30 p.m. That's just afternoon. And I'll be conducting a workshop also on Sunday at 3:30 p.m. That's a lecture Sunday, October 31st at 12:30 p.m. And I will be conducting a workshop Sunday, October the 31st at 3:30 p.m. That's the Dunphy Hotel in San Mateo, California. For information, please call 415-905-8874. That's 415-905-8874. And I will repeat this later in the program. While you've got your pen and paper with you, let me give you the address to write for information. It's William Cooper, Post Office Box 1420, Sholo, spelled S-H-O-W-L-O-W, Arizona, 85901. That's P.O. Box 1420, Sholo, Arizona, 85901. The hotline in Los Angeles will be discontinued effective the 1st of November. The number that you should call for information and to talk to a live person is 602-333-5174. That's 602-333-5174. The fax line, folks, any time that this show is not on the air, the fax time is the same as the fax line, I should say, is the same as the call-in line. That's 602-333-2174. That's 602-333-2174.
Morning and after school, the teacher is teaching the golden rule. American history, practical math. You're studying hard, you're hoping to pass. Working your fingers right down to the bone. The guy behind you won't leave you alone.
Ring, ring, goes the bell. The cook in the lunchroom is ready.
Rolls around.
Hey, you man, I'm going to town.
You finally lay your burden down.
I'm nobody's fool, I'm nobody's clown.
Go up your book, get out of your seat.
This is a plan that can't be beat.
Down the hall and into the street.
My dancing shoes are on my feet.
Up to the corner, round the bend.
Can't wait to tell me when.
Like you just you drunk, you go in.
I'm here, I said, it's me, Barney.
Drop the coin right into the slot. You gotta hear something that's really hot.
But the ones you love, you're making my man.
Oh, how long have you been wanting to dance?
Oh, yeah.
I'm feeling the music from head to toe. Round and round and round you go.
And welcome once again to a wonderful evening with the hour of the time. Well, I got several calls last night after we went off the air. Some people think I was a little rough on some of the people that called in. And maybe I was. It's nothing personal, folks, but we don't have any time to play around. I don't have time to change diapers. I don't have time to teach you the basics. If you haven't heard previous shows and you don't know what we discussed, don't call up and say we didn't prove something. Don't call up and make a jerk out of yourself, because what you should do is order the back tapes and listen to them. And occasionally, over periods of time, we actually rerun some of them, and especially the Mystery School series. Been getting an awful lot of mail from truck drivers, folks, who agree with me. These are the good truck drivers. Remember the two-thirds of the truck drivers that I said are out there obeying the law and trying to do their job and are not a danger to anyone? Well, they agree with me. One-third of the truckers, they say that I'm right on the mark, including the percentage. 33%, one-third, are out of control. They're dangerous. They ride within an inch or two of people's bumpers, cars that have women and children, little children, sometimes a lot of children in them. They display psychotic behavior and actually do try to run people off the road. Many, many accidents happen on the highways involving trucks. Also got a couple of threats from truckers. One trucker called, wouldn't identify himself, just like all cowards who make anonymous calls. Said he was going to come over here and kick my ass, and I told him to come on, and I haven't seen him yet. And, folks, I never will, because that's the kind of person who do that kind of thing. And also got a fax. This was Wednesday, October 13th. Dear Mr. Cooper, this is in response to your blatant attack on the trucking industry, which I am one of. Now, do you hear that, folks? You all heard what I said about what happens out there on the highways, and I did not blatantly attack the trucking industry. I said one-third of the truckers on the highways are out of control, are actually murder waiting to happen. And whenever they kill someone, folks, I believe it is murder. These people have to be reined in. They have to be dealt with. And this is one of them. You see, if I wasn't right on the mark, he would not have sent me this fax. His objections to the contrary confirms it later on. Listen to this. Dear Mr. Cooper, this is in response to your blatant attack on the trucking industry, which I am one of. Not all truckers are the same. I do not ride bumpers or run 90 miles per hour, but if I had heard your show live and was on the highway, I would have had to pull over and call you live, you asshole. I am one of many, not like the jerk that tried to run you off of the road. Now listen to this. But if I was on the road, I would have probably run your ass off the road. P.S. Your stock scheme is nothing but a blanking scam. That's one word I can't say. Think you will get all the proxies? Think again, you dumbass. Wait, better not. You might blow a fuse. Signed, Bruce Davis. Bruce Davis, you haven't got a brain. And if you did have a brain, you'd take it out and play with it until it disintegrated into dust. Try listening to the program. You are the trucker that I was talking about. And don't worry, folks. I don't believe for one second that this jerk really used his own real name. I don't think he'd have the guts to. You see, because this is a threat, and I turn all threats over to the police. I also send copies to the FBI and the Highway Patrol and every other law enforcement agency that I can. Every time we get a threat, all phone threats are recorded, and the recordings are always turned in. So you want to play those kind of games, that's fine. Oh, and by the way, if any of you do ever show up. Don't think for 1 minute I'm going to play any silly little game and dance around the yard with you. I'll just pull out my 9mm and blow your stupid head off. And that's the truth. Got a letter here, folks. Dear William Hart, what I'm about to tell you sounds unbelievable, but it's true. It should scare the dickens out of you. I won't beat around the bush. I need your help, and I need it today. There is legislation making its way through Congress right now to legally censor conservatives' right to speak. You read correctly. Liberals in Congress have crafted legislation that would effectively make it illegal for conservatives to air their opinions in the media. We thought it could never happen in our country, but it's happening, and it's the most dishonest move against freedom of expression in history. The letter goes on to say, let me explain. And let me see here, where am I? There are two movements in this country that are as hideous as they are powerful. The first is led by the politically correct thought police. They look, whether it's in academia, in the entertainment industry, or in the news media, for anyone who is not towing the leftist line. And when they find a conservative, they attack. They slander him personally and ruin him professionally. It's happening all over the country, with professors at universities, with actors in the entertainment community, with public policy leaders. If they're conservatives and voice their opinions, they are attacked in the most devastating, dishonest fashion possible. And it goes on and on and on and on and on. But the gist of this, folks, and it's not just for conservatives, and I'm not a conservative, and that's not why I'm reading this. I'm for truth, whatever it is, whether it's liberal or conservative or what, or right. If it's truth, that's what we're for here, or as close as we can possibly get to it. For as many of you have learned, the truth is elusive at best. They're talking about this new fairness in media law. And this is really something. It's called the Fairness in Broadcasting Act. It's nothing more than censorship or an attempted censorship. But, folks, it only works with people who don't have their facts together. You see, I would be very happy to bring anyone on this show who wanted to talk about anything that we've said and refute it. I'll be happy to do that, you see, because I've been researching all of this stuff for so many years. I know most of it right off the top of my head. I have a huge library here right behind me. I can go immediately to references and pull them out and cite them and all kinds of things. And they've tried to do this to me before on other talk shows. In fact, they've called me to appear on talk shows and made all kinds of promises and everything. And I show up and there's a debunker there or somebody from the other side who wants to try to put me down. In every single case that anyone has ever tried that, they have slunk away with their tail between their legs because for some reason they think I'm as stupid as they are. And they come totally unprepared, where I've learned to take a briefcase full of everything that I'm going to talk about, citing references and the whole works. One time, I absolutely astounded Lars Hansen when on a radio talk show in Los Angeles, he attempted to deride my military service record, and I reached in my briefcase and pulled it out and had the talk show host read it verbatim on the air. And that deflated him immediately. He was very, very cautious after that. So, you know, I don't think this is a danger to anyone who really knows what they're talking about and has their facts together. It is a danger, however, if they're going to make you give them equal time. For instance, if I, with my hour show here, talk about a subject for an hour, if they're going to force the radio station to give the opposition a whole hour to talk about the opposing side of whatever it is that I talked about, then that's not good. That's censorship. It forces the radio station to take somebody else off the air and give the hour to somebody else during that time, which the radio station has to pay for. And that is not only not fair, it's a form of terrible censorship. Everybody in this country has the same freedom that I have, or Rush Limbaugh has, or Tom Valentine has, or anybody else has. In other words, if you're really concerned about what we're saying and you really want to get your viewpoint out there, then get your own radio show, stupid. That's the way it works. You get your own show. But you see, they usually won't do that because they're looking for handouts. They want it for nothing. Always want something for nothing. And I'm going to prove a little bit of that here in just a couple of minutes. But let me read this letter to you. I think you'll find this extremely interesting. Dear Mr. Cooper, some while back I wrote you about Comblock helos operating from Biggs Army Airfield, El Paso, Texas. In that note, I briefly mentioned the camps and bunkers operated by the government. Along those lines, I thought I'd pass on a little more for what it's worth. Again, I'm still under federal probation, and they will send me back to the joint if they catch me talking about this. So I appreciate your discretion, and don't worry, you have my discretion. Nothing will be mentioned here that will tend to give away your identity. In fact, we have taken your original letter, cut your name out of it, destroyed it, and that's what I'm reading from. Incidentally, they wouldn't let me go to Washington for the 29th because it's a political activity and I have no civil rights. Anyone who believes this is still a free country has only to step on the wrong toes. The United States Bureau of Prisons maintains 116 camps and detention facilities all over the country. Some are secure high-rises located in major cities, while others are stuck out in the backcountry of military bases. These are in addition to the regular federal prisons. One in Louisiana is a former leper colony. These are not the soft touches Joe Biergut is told about, but work camps where prisoners do hard manual labor every day. There are comfort camps for favored prisoners which do offer the amenities, one at Nellis Air Force Base and another at Maxwell Air Force Base. In addition, the Immigration and Naturalization Service operates a number of camps and facilities separately, although federal prisoners are confined there as well as detainees. The United States Marshal Service operates a transportation net which includes aircraft and large intercity buses to move prisoners and to provide diesel therapy to selected individuals. This involves being shipped about, chained to the floor of a bus or plane for weeks on end, never being allowed to shower, shave, change clothes, buy smokes, or have contact with any others but guards. And as an aside here, folks, that's how they keep people from communicating with their lawyers or their family or anyone else. Now, those are extreme measures, but they are used. He goes on to say, one trip per day to the latrine is permitted, during which the prisoner is observed continuously. No windows, air conditioning, reading matter, radio, or TV is, of course, allowed. In nearly all instances, prisoners are berated, insulted, and harassed continuously. Diet is intentionally high in fats with the purpose of rendering the individual lethargic and easier to control. Guards are selected from applicants having a GED or high school diploma and are not required to have any training or experience. They are sent to Hate School at Glencoe, Georgia, to prepare them for their careers. Staff, such as caseworkers, are selected from guards. Many, many federal prisoners are not criminals, but political prisoners. I was inside, and one of them, I know what I'm talking about, even if Joe Biergut doesn't want to hear it or believe it. Finally, federal rules applied to state prisons do not apply to federal facilities. With all that as background, then, we can have some idea what to expect when they implement their executive orders. The United States Army Corps of Engineers, a civilian agency of the Department of the Army, and one highly politicized, is the Federal Construction Agent. They are designated to work for Federal Emergency Management Agency in accomplishing that agency's missions. They provide the expertise in the design, location, and construction of reception centers for displaced populations and such other construction as FEMA may require. They would not operate the facilities. Many locations have already been selected. Plans are drawn and ready. It only requires the command of execution to implement. During World War II, the Corps built virtually all the facilities utilized to manage our war effort in a little over a year. Camps and facilities for 10 million troops, airfields, depots, and infrastructure. Think about it, America. In my area of responsibility, several locations were chosen, always with access to rail lines, but remote from major populations. Each facility was designed for 10,000, and each facility is intended for one sex. None had school facilities or playground equipment, so I assume the kids go elsewhere. The kids, folks, will go to be raised by the state. Nothing I saw had anything like gas chambers or crematoria, although they did have incinerators and boilers. We were told these places were to accommodate refugees from a New Mexican Civil War. Then we were told survivors of nuclear attack. Then we were told quarantined illegal aliens. Now I guess they're boot camps. When the government rounded up the Japanese Americans in 1942, they sent the army to do it and shipped the prisoners to camps like Manzanita, which were already established. Does that make you think? Does Joe Beergut think that Manzanita just happened? No, Joe. We've been down this road before. We know how to do this. I sent all this, along with a map, some time ago, so maybe you already know all this. On a different topic, do you know anything about two blue and white Cessna 421s, which I can't go on with that because it might give him away. It names specific locations and things that happened, and only insiders would know that. So I've got to stop right there. Anyway, let me see. P.S. I suppose everyone knows by now of Mount Weather in Virginia. You should if you read my book. And the Hotel Greenbrier in West Virginia. The government also has facilities in the salt caverns outside Kansas City and near Carlsbad, New Mexico, along with a number of other underground bunkers. The Corps had the job of closing up all the Air Force's old missile silos and their associated command and control bunkers. Guess what? Lots, but not all, of silos were in fact destroyed, but not too many command and control facilities. Don't worry, my friend. Your name, your identity is safe. And we thank you for the information. Next letter. Dear Mr. Cooper, while listening to your program Monday night, you mentioned that you made some visits that gave you hope. I want to join that hope. I live a long way from Arizona, but I would still like to investigate the possibility of joining. I know I can help. I have heard that militias were forming, but I have had no real confirmations until now. I live in California near the Oregon border, back in the bushes. My background, I was a member of the 100 and... My motivation, I really believe that our country is about to reach critical mass. I need not explain what is about to happen to our economy. And listen to that, folks. He knows. The government intrusion is out of control. I am not a very politically correct person. Welcome to the club, my friend. As it stands, we are a house of cards about to topple. I have never heard as much absolute contempt for our government. I do not feel that we are far from a major blow-up. I have knowledge that our military is being hurried through urban warfare training centers at locations in the United States. And folks, that is a fact. CAGI has confirmed it. Armed forces, military forces, United States military forces are being hurried through urban warfare training centers. He goes on to say, I have two sons in the military, and they are aware of what is going on. I feel that at a point, martial law will be declared on a pretense. It is, I feel, inevitable that something will happen to cause people to rebel, and that's what I've been warning you about. Don't rebel. Wait until they take the first step. When they overtly trash the Constitution, we will have a legal right to reinstate it as the supreme law of land, using any methods necessary. Until then, anything you do will be a rebellion, and they will be justified in putting down that rebellion. Understand that. It is, I feel, inevitable that something will happen to cause people to rebel. When this happens, leadership and organization must be in place and ready to act. I think it will be a protracted guerrilla war. At this time, when I have the time, and I can't talk about that either. My friend, I cannot put you in touch with anyone. If I did, I would be remiss in my loyalties. You must cast about in your area for groups that are ready to protect and defend the Constitution at all costs. You must do it on your own. You must do it quietly and discreetly. And if you cannot find anyone, you must form your own group. Because I don't know who you are, and I will not betray anyone to anyone for any reason. Even though you may be absolutely legitimate, I hope you understand why I cannot do that. Now, here's another letter. It says, Mr. Cooper, this letter is written with great concern and complete sincerity, regardless of how bitchy it may seem. If you feel, as you swear, as strongly as not only myself, but the dozens of others I've been discussing our nations and worlds, for that matter, troubles, and Pale Horse, and that's my book, folks, Behold a Pale Horse is the name of it, with, I'll get some sort of reply directly from you. It may help tremendously. There is obviously extreme corruption in every facet of political leadership. This reality irritates me, though, because it's not enough in itself to motivate, and he says goyim here, to effect a change. I don't know why he says goyim, but he does. I'm reading his letter. These are not my words. It seems the credibility of the source identifying the corruption is more important to the estranged public than the blatant lies and propaganda. So who are you? I ask this in the hope of disproving the general consensus spurred on by the profitable $24 price on The Pale Horse, that's my book, Behold a Pale Horse, that you're in this more for the money than the reclamation of our Constitution and national sovereignty. He goes on, folks, and at the end of the letter, he asks me to send him tons of material free. Videotapes, audio tapes, my book, everything. This person is a socialist. I don't even understand why he cares about the Constitution, because the Constitution has nothing to do with socialism. Now, I'm going to say this again so you'll all understand it. I have nothing to do with the price of my book, ladies and gentlemen. Nothing whatsoever. I am not self-published. My publisher publishes the book, and my publisher sets the price. And if I want one of my own books, I have to buy it from the publisher. Now, I get a bookstore discount, which is 40% off, but I still have to buy it just like you. You know, if you're a socialist, I hope you keep listening to this program, because I hope to be able to open your eyes and educate you to the reality of the real world. Socialists in every case, in every single case, are children. Children who have no belief in anything. They have no belief in God. They think this is it. They're weak. They're helpless. They're children. They need a daddy to protect them. They want everything for free. They need to have their diapers changed. Daddy must give them a job. Daddy must pay them. And daddy must protect them against the evil employer so that he never, never loses that job. And daddy must take care of him in his old age. And of course, the only way daddy can do that is to take away all freedoms from everyone and have total control of every single moment of every single person's life in this world, so that the little child socialist can have the great, great blanket of security that he needs. The socialist feels comfortable in that blanket of security, but those of us who love freedom are suffocated under it and will not stand for it. Again, folks, I'll be at the Dunphy Hotel in the San Francisco Bay Area in San Mateo, California, October 29th through the 31st. I will lecture on Sunday at 12:30 p.m., October the 31st, and hold a workshop later that same day at 3:30 p.m. For information, call 415-905-8874. That's 415-905-8874. Now, we're going to play a little game here. I'm going to give you a little riddle and see who can answer it first. What do you call it when an army goes into another country that did not invite them? Good evening. You hung up too soon, my friend. Number is 602-333-2174. What do you call it when an army goes into another country that did not invite them there? Can anybody answer that for me? The number is 602-333-2174. Good evening. You're on the air. Hello? Got scared, I guess. Let's try again. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. How you doing?
Oh, boy. We finally got somebody here who's not scared to talk.
Should I turn off my radio now?
Absolutely.
Hold on.
Okay. Remember what the riddle is, folks. What do you call it when an army goes into another country that was not invited? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
You got the answer?
Okay. The answer, I think you're looking for either invasion, imperialism.
Invasion is the correct term.
What do I win?
Well, you win a gold star.
Oh, really? I was hoping for a free video. I mean, if you're giving it to that other guy.
Oh, we're not
joking. I'm joking. No, something I did want to talk to you about, though, was...
Oh, you just cracked Carolyn up.
Oh, good. I'm glad. One of the things I wanted to talk to you about is you do talk about the idea of you can't prove certain things and what proof's about. And I was thinking that an interesting program might be to discuss Occam's razor and scientific proof and how you could disprove something, but you can't really prove it. Because I think a lot of people, they get fooled by people like Tom Valentine because they never learned a little bit of symbolic logic. They never learned how to think. And I know you don't want to do the ABCs with people.
Yeah, we don't have time to do that.
You don't, but it's important. I mean, it's like literacy. With no literacy, there's no democracy.
That's right.
So you've got to teach literacy. Now, even though I don't agree with you on many things, there are a couple of points we do agree on. Literacy, for example, the idea that evolution isn't proved, neither is the life of Jesus, but that's the issue of fate, and that's beyond that. I mean, you said that yesterday.
That's right.
And those are very interesting, but I think it is important to maybe discuss what proof is about and how we know something and how we know how not to follow something. I don't know. What do you think about that? It's your show.
Well, maybe we'll have a show on that some night. That might be a good idea. We'll toss it around. Agreeing with me is not a prerequisite to calling. To listening to this show, it's not a requirement. It is required that you demonstrate some degree of intelligence, and I love to have an intelligent exchange of ideas with someone who disagrees with me because it sharpens my knowledge. And in some instances, I find out that I'm wrong, and when I do that, I love it because then I can be more right, and that's what I'm striving to be.
It is important, though, that you point out that you have said many times about Tom Valentine. I do think that the man is basically a Nazi. He says things and uses coded language to say things that are truly evil. And whether he's a Mason or not, I have no idea, and I don't care. But I really do believe that he lies. He fools people. He hoodwinks people who are looking for a demon instead of stringing out their own lives. They can blame it on somebody else.
That's right.
And I think he's irresponsible. And I understand why people might want to believe him, but you know, you've got to, as they say, cojones, and that's a good thing.
Yes, also, I've never told anyone not to listen to Tom Valentine or anyone else. I tell them, listen to everybody, read everything, but research everything you hear and read, and find your own truth. And it's if we're all looking for the truth, eventually, if a truth exists, we're all going to arrive at the same point.
I don't know about that, though. You said that, and I'm not sure that there is an absolute that we can arrive at. There's certain.
That's why I said if there is a truth.
Well, there are certain truths that we have. We know the sun's going to rise. You know, we know that there's certain things about the nature of the way cities work. All cities have been corrupt ever since the Athenians had a little bit of a problem a couple of years ago. If you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And if you read Greek history, you see that all problems are basically similar. But where I disagree with you is I don't think it's necessary to blame on malice what you can. How does the phrase go? It's not necessary. You shouldn't explain through malice what can be explained through ignorance and stupidity. And I think a lot of the things that you describe that there's a cabal out there doing something, I think it's just what I call a natural conspiracy. If you get lots of people with power together at a golf course, of course they're going to keep it, hold it, and do bad things.
You haven't heard the mystery series, have you?
I have, actually. I even read Robert Anton Wilson's book. I even have done some research and knew about that stuff before I heard your series.
Uh-huh.
And I read Robert Anton Wilson's book. I knew about that stuff before because I've done research.
Well, you see, we don't have to prove much when they've admitted it in their own words.
Well, you know,
it's not a conspiracy of ignorance. It's a conspiracy of fact. And, well, actually, today, as I've said before, it's not really a conspiracy anymore.
I don't remember that. You said that if they're out in the open with it, it's not a conspiracy.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, if there really was this conspiracy that you claim, right, what's taking them so long? You know, I mean, there's been 7,000 years of basic civilized history. You know, it seems that they'd have gotten to work already. And
oh, no.
As far as I can tell, the only thing that's happening is the normal confusion of human beings with their normal sort of needs and impulses and desires.
No, they could never have done it already. Man had to reach a certain level of education in order to bring in enough people into their movement so that they could infiltrate society enough to make it happen.
There's 5 billion people on the planet. One would think that it's easy to do the infiltration. infiltration when there were less of us here?
No, because when there were less of us here, more of us were absolutely, totally illiterate and ignorant. And these were the only people who were educated.
Well...
they were the original priests.
I'm not so sure about that. I mean, I understand... I think we're looking at the same set of data points, but you and I are drawing different curves through them.
Well, that could be. That happens all the
time. By the way, the one thing I have to say is, your voice sounds really different live, and it does through my crackly shortwave. That's interesting. It's sort of fun to hear what you really sound like.
Well, you have to understand that to go out over the air,
right. No, I understand.
The sound goes through a lot of processing.
Oh, yeah. And it also has to go through lots of fluorescent lights and other things that... But I still think that it's possible to look at these things and come up with another explanation, because I think there's a human tendency to want to say, there is a mysterious cabal out there. It's not me, it's them, it's that group. And I do think you're brave for saying it's not any one particular group, because anti-Semitism and anti whatever it is, whether it's black, white, green, or blue, is really pretty stupid, and it's one way that you could conquer and divide by people who should actually be allies.
That's right.
Right? Poor blacks and poor whites really should be allies. But on the other hand, talking about the destruction of the world, whether it's Revelation or it's the Coming Depression of 1990, that book, sells more than saying things will be okay, you know? And I'm not sure that...
Oh, no. The quickest way to get rich is tell people what they want to hear.
Well, what people want to hear is that the end is near.
No, what they want to hear is everything is okay.
I don't really think that.
Oh, man, let me tell you something. You don't get rich or make any money doing what I do. And if you want to take a trip out here and spend a couple of weeks with us, you'll find out what you really get when you tell this kind of stuff. The people who tell people what they really want to hear are the people who make all the money. They are the people that people pay $500 to go listen to just for a 20-minute speech.
Well, I think that in this country, there's two different streams of thought that are still there. There's the pagan thought, let's eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow we shall die. And then there's also that piety, which comes from Greek thought, a different strain of Greek thought. The world is going to end, and the material and the body is evil, and there's only an ideal form out there. And that's where Christianity got it from, in my opinion.
Well, you could be right, but the truth is the world is not going to end. Man will vanish from this earth before the world ever ends, I can guarantee you.
And those cockroaches again? That's what they told me also. They'll be here after we're gone.
Yeah, well, they may be.
They may be. But there is a question I wanted to ask you, which is, you often say that you don't agree with many of the established churches. And I've never heard you clearly say what your beliefs are, whether you believe...
Oh, yeah, I did one night. I did a whole hour bearing my heart to the world, telling everybody who I was, because so many people seem to be confused, and you can order that tape.
Great. Well, I'll listen until you mention what tape number it is.
The title of the tape is From My Heart to Yours.
Okay, great. But I still think that it's possible that, that if you look at the history of any city, whether it's like I said, Athens, when they had the problems with the despots and the tyranny of three, I think it was, or you look at the way New York City runs, or if you look at any city, whether it's Damascus or it's Mexico City, the nature of corruption is that people who have money retain power. I don't think there has to be any mysterious mystery school. I think the equation, it sounds almost Marxian in a way, but it's really sort of... Socialism and capitalism are basically a scam.
You see, from their own writings from the mystery school, they just...
Interpretation of them. I think there's another way of looking at it.
No, they say it plain out. There is no interpretation involved with it. And in many of the hours of the mystery school, I quoted directly from their writings.
I've heard that entire series. I was lucky enough to... Well, I heard about 75% of it. And I'm actually familiar with some of the primary sources you have.
Uh-huh.
But I don't think it's necessary to... Because you can find the cabals and all over the place. But I think it's the nature of human beings to look for these conspiracies. And that what you're discovering is a psychological artifact rather than a real political or religious artifact.
Well, listen to this. This is from a book called The Lodge of St. Alban, number 709, Universal Co-Masonry. It was written over 100 years ago in England. And it, I could read a lot of this, but I'm just going to read these points here. That it says, in dealing with modern co-masonry, it may be said that there are eight main purposes for which it exists. These may be summarized as follows. 1. To restore the hidden knowledge to Freemasonry. 2. To preserve the continuity of the order and the truths which it represents from its initiation in remote ages through the present into the future. 3. To quicken the evolution of the individual and of the matter of the planes. The actual atomic matter is changed and quickened both in the bodies of Masons, in the matter and furniture of the building, and in the free matter present. 4. To bring spiritual force, especially that of the seventh ray, into manifested activity on all planes. 5. To combine in mutual cooperation the elemental and human kingdoms. 6. To assist the Manu in building the special bodies required for the sixth sub-race, which they call Solar Man, which will be the new root race going into the New World Order. Anyone who doesn't subscribe will just be eliminated. And this was the whole meaning of the movie 2001, and it goes on. Number 7, to establish centers of light throughout the world. Number 8, to preserve and in due time restore the mysteries. And it goes on and on and on.
Okay, okay. All right. But I have a response to that. My response goes like this. When I was in I must have been 9 years old. I must have been in fourth grade. I met this kid. He was a wise old 10 years old. And we just thought, with a couple of other boys on our street, we were hanging out and watching the cars go by and seeing if we could name them before we saw the license plate, the mark on the car, as little boys sometimes do. And we decided to have a secret club. And we got together and we decided what we were going to do and how we were really going to run things. And it seems to me that a lot of these organizations, like the Masons, it's just, penises and big talk.
Nope.
All it is make-believe. It's just a bunch of make-believe for a bunch of men who want to gather together and have an excuse to do it.
On the lower level in the Blue Lodge, you're right. On the
Don't
interrupt me when I'm talking. On the higher level, that is not the truth. And they've said so in their own words, and we've read it here. But you've been the only one on here for a long time.
By the way, thank you very much, though.
Well, you're welcome. You're very intelligent, and I enjoyed talking
with
you.
Thank you.
All right.
See you some other evening. Bye.
Bye-bye. 602-333-2174. And let me see here. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill.
Oh.
Have you ever read Professor Carol Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope?
Yes, I have.
So,
quite a few years ago, as a matter of fact.
In the book, when he describes that, he describes the banking interlocking direct grids and how all these different corporations and banking coteries are interlocked at the top.
Uh-huh.
He shows how the infrastructure in Russia was basically supported from the same people who run the Federal Reserve.
Not the Federal Reserve, but that's one of the places where they got their money. They got their money from many other places besides the Federal Reserve.
But it was basically the same cabal of people behind both areas.
Yeah.
So what does that say about the possibility of nuclear war? Was that ever an actual option?
No, never.
So what was the device for that then?
The whole purpose for the Cold War was to fund the development of the military technology for the police force of the world order.
I see. I called...
They had to have an excuse to get the money out of our pockets to build this huge technological military might, which we could not oppose.
So the function of the whole Cold War and the nuclear scenario was that?
That's correct.
And there was never an option for that?
That's correct.
Because when I read that book, I thought, these businessmen aren't stupid, or these people that are doing this aren't stupid. They wouldn't run the risk of blowing the whole world up while they finance and they control the weapons on both sides.
You're absolutely right.
And
you'll also know that Carol Quigley also, and I hope the last caller is listening, admitted in that book that, yes, there is a conspiracy at the highest levels.
That's right.
To control the world.
That's right. I heard a caller calling a few nights ago, and he was talking about Wilhelm Reich.
Uh-huh.
And I just wanted to correct a few points that he made. I went up to Organon in Rangeley last year to visit the Organon is the Wilhelm Reich Museum in Rangeley, Maine.
Uh-huh.
And I talked with some of the tour guides up there, and his whole laboratory is intact, and you can go up there and you can take the tour. You can see the all of his clothes are still in the closet. His writings are still there. His observatory is on the top of the building. And they're very nice people. but they're also very strict. They won't let you go anywhere inside the laboratory without a guide, because they've been it's a place that tracks a cross section of different people, but a lot of strange people also go up there because Wright's principles have been assimilated into the occult also. There's a lot of some occultists, like people of Order Templi Orientis, like Michael Berdio, he wrote a book called The Gnostic Voodoo Workbook. And in this book, it's sort of a synthesis of everything: radionics, computers, Reiki and Organomy, UFOs, everything. If you can get a hold of it, it's put out by Magical Child Press, but it would be good for your library.
Okay.
I just wanted to tell you that the caller called in and said Reich was busted by the government for selling orgone boxes, and that's not exactly what happened. Reich was technically thrown in jail by the violation of court injunction that was due to a colleague of his who transported what's called a DOR buster or a cloud buster across state lines, violating a court injunction.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the technicality that justified the agency to come in there and smash his things up, throw him in jail. And after 8 months in jail, he died. And the colleague that got him into all this served a year in prison and then committed suicide after he came out. But Reich is an important part of the puzzle. Next time I see you, I want to give you a Xerox copy of his last book called Contact with Space. And this was the one that talks about this extraterrestrial element. And, you know, whether it's a hoax or not or whatever it may be, it was one of the... I think that was the reason why he got thrown in jail and why the federal government came down on him so hard.
Well, it's funny, you know, in that book, this Masonic book that I just quoted out of.
What was the name of it, though?
It's The Lodge, St. Alban, number 709, Transactions 1 and 2, Universal Co-Masonry. Was printed. It's The Music of Lodge St. Alban and Some Observations of Freemasonry in the First Degree. And it's from London, from England. And also in this book, it talks about Freemasons who live on other planets. How does that grab you? And in the Mormon Church, they believe that we were created by a god from another planet called Kolob, an extraterrestrial.
Wow.
Now, if you go up to a Freemason on the street, he'll deny that, but you get into their literature and you'll find out it's absolutely true.
That's right. That's right. So do you think in the same way that the directorates of corporations on a business level in this country interlock at the top?
Absolutely, and I can think of a... one right off the top that I can give you that you can all go look at, and that's the Texaco Star. If you go out and look at a Texaco Star at your local gas station, you'll see that it's the bright and blazing star of the Freemasonic Lodge, and in the center, what you think is a T standing for Texaco is really the Tau, the letter Tau, of the Royal Arc Mason degree. Yes, and the symbology is everywhere. Once you learn the symbology, you will understand why movies like They Live are not talking about extraterrestrials.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Doesn't the Shell also, in the Shell gas station...
The Shell is the rising sun.
The rising sun, yeah.
That's correct.
I noticed that in Japan, they changed over from their ceremonial Japanese aesthetic to top hats, sort of a Western aesthetic.
Uh-huh.
And the symbol for Japan is the land of the rising sun.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if, you know, Mr. Mystery Schools had somehow gotten into power in Japan and had, you know, redone the national symbology to reveal their involvement over there.
You can go anywhere in the world and look at the root of the mysteries practiced in that country, wherever you are, I don't care where it is, and it will be the same exact religion with the same ceremonies, the same initiation, the same beliefs, and it all stems from the ancient worship of a god represented by the sun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. My friend got back from Buenos Aires, Argentina, and he brought me a postcard that had an obelisk in the middle of downtown Buenos Aires. I couldn't believe it, but he brought me that, and then, you know, I did the research and looked at the glass pyramid in the middle of the Louvre, and the obelisk in the square of St. Peter's.
Uh-huh.
And so all of those represent that, don't they?
Yes, the obelisk is the phallus of Osiris, the generative force. It's the rays of the sun that cause the plants to grow. I could go on and on and on and on. It's the representation of the pantheistic God, which controls the universe, which makes it all work.
And Bill, also, yesterday's Times, the Los Angeles Times, had an article about the Luxor Pyramid.
Uh-huh.
And inside the Luxor Pyramid, they have these high-tech, like 70-foot-high, 35-foot-high movie screens, and there's going to be, I guess, three theaters next to each other,
uh-huh,
where they're going to show these movies about the evolution of civilization.
Yeah,
from the past to the present and then into the future. And in the Times article, they show one of the scenes from out of the theater, which shows the future, and it has the scenario of like flying cars, like Blade Runner, and you know, futuristic high tech cities,
uh-huh,
and in the middle of the futuristic high tech city is a pyramid.
Yeah,
and you would interpret all that relating to the mystery school.
Oh yeah, the pyramid is the symbol of the temple of initiation, and the capstone is the master mason.
Yeah, yeah. I called a few days ago, and you explained to me that it's clear now how America was to be the aperture that the New World Order was to be ushered in with.
That's correct.
Now, that makes a lot more sense to me when I look at it on a pragmatic, political, sort of mechanistic functioning level,
yeah,
rather than, you know, I get caught up, and I guess a lot of people get caught up with the real veiled references to the origins of this country as a Masonic Republic. I mean, it's not blatantly stated in the college textbooks or the high school books.
Oh, no, they've never wanted to be out in the open until recently. They've been coming out in the open in just in the last few years. They've always kept in the background their true purpose and their true identity and their true affiliations, and everything has always been carefully hidden.
Now, I know that this is the last question I just wanted to ask you. I know that I can't really complain that things aren't fair in this world, because I know that, you know, things are, they don't really work that way in a lot of instances. But there seemed never to be a point in American history where they consciously told us what this country was and severed all the ties from rigging business and rigging politics and rigging, and, you know, trying to fool us with the 14th Amendment and tricking us into Social Security. There never seemed a time when they wiped the slate clean and said, here, common man, this is your country. If you screw it up, we're taking it back, and, you know, here you go.
That's why it won't work. And that's why when Bogart says we're fixing to have a perfect government here on this earth, that he's full of crap. You see, anything born out of lies and deception and manipulation will just perpetuate lies and deception and manipulation and will be its own downfall.
That's right. Okay, Bill, thank you very much.
You're welcome. You see, I have nothing against Freemasons. I don't care if they go to the lodge. I don't even care if they worship Lucifer. What they do with their own soul is their business. I wish they wouldn't, but I believe in the Constitution. I believe in the freedom that each one of us has the right to choose and determine our own future fate.
Bill, if I'm ever in Arizona, could I, well, I don't know, I probably be very private, you know, like visitors, but is there a possibility that I might be able to?
Well, it depends on my schedule and what we're involved in. Give me a call if you ever get out here, and we'll talk about it.
Okay, I call your 281 number in L.A.?
No, that's going to be discontinued at the end of this month.
Oh, it is?
You call 602-333-5174.
Oh, great. Okay, Bill. Thank you. Take care.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling. Yeah, folks, I don't care if someone goes to the Mormon church. I only care when they begin messing with my freedoms, when they begin messing with the rest of us and lying to us and manipulating us and trying to bring about what they think is going to be a utopia through all these lies and deceits and manipulations. they're not playing with a full deck of cards, I'll tell you that right now. And I don't think that they're gonna make it work. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah. Hi, Bill. I'm calling from Colorado.
How you doing?
Pretty good. This is Mike. I got an interesting article here for the sheeple that I saw from AP today. And I know you're running out of time, but I wanted to read this to you.
Yeah, make it quick, real quick.
Okay. It says, UN officials are stressing the need to promote biodiversity as a way to guard against famine and other food supply problems. Dateline Rome. And says at a conference in Rome marking the UN's 13th World Food Day, officials noted that destruction of tropical forests may claim up to 100 plant and animal species a day.
Uh-huh.
And experts at the meeting said 75% of agriculture's genetic resources have been lost. Former French Prime Minister Jacques Sinrock says three plants, wheat, rice, and corn, provide over 40% of the world's plant foods and calls that dangerous and irresponsible. The international conference is sponsored by the UN Food and Agriculture Organization.
Well, thank you for that, and we gotta leave you.
Okay, need a copy of this?
Yeah, please send me or fax it, one or the other.
Okay, I wanted to see what you'd make out of this.
Well, we don't have time to talk about it. Sorry about that. Take care.
You too.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Folks, I want to urge you to call Swiss America Trading right now, 1-800-289-2646. Ask for Gene Miller. Tell him that you listen to the Hour of the Time and mention my name, William Cooper. And you'll get number one priority treatment. 1-800-289-2646. Take positive steps now to prepare yourself for the hardships that we face in the immediate future. And folks, I mean immediate future. It's not too far off. 1-800-289-2646. Turn around right now. Look at your family. If you can't tell your family that you've taken positive, sure steps to protect their future, then you must make this call. 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. If you're outside the continental limits of the United States of America, if you're in another country, you may call 602-953-6000. That's 602-953-6000. Once again, I'll be at the Dunphy Hotel in San Mateo, California, in the San Francisco Bay Area, October 29th through the 31st. I'll be available to talk to all of you. If you want to come by our booth, I'll have my book there. You'll be able to buy copies of the tapes of the Hour of the Time, and when you buy them at these conferences, you don't have to pay the postage, folks, so you get them at a reduced rate. Also, we'll have a special rate for the entire Mystery School set if you want to purchase that. We'll have that for you at a reduced price. Remember, Dunphy Hotel, San Mateo, California, October 29th through the 31st. I will lecture on Sunday, the 31st at 12:30 p.m. I will hold a workshop later that same day, October 31st at 3:30 p.m. For information, call 415-905-8874. That's 415-905-8874. And for those of you in the southeast United States, I will be in Atlanta, Georgia on November the 14th. I'll give you a contact number probably Monday night, and Monday night we will give you the name of the media corporation that we're going to purchase. Good night, and God bless you all.